my own understanding of the gospel would have been like Tarnas. Richard Tarnas in Passion of the Western Mind described good news, the individual can have a personal relationship with Jesus. I think that's true. I think that's part of the good news. I guess my world was rocked during seminary at Westminster when I read Herman Ritterbos's Coming of the Kingdom and started to realize that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the central message was the kingdom. And the first announcement of the gospel, of the good news. The word gospel, of course, is an old English word, good news, God's good spell, good news. And in the word in the Greek, euangelion, it's simply a very common word for good news. Good news, a baby has been born. Good news, you've just won the election. Good news. And so it's good news, the kingdom has come, and Jesus doesn't stop and say, oh, and let me tell you what that kingdom is, and give us a systematic unfolding of it. He assumes, because everybody's waiting for the kingdom, he assumes that this will be heard as good news, that the kingdom of God has arrived. So in the first, how does it relate? In Jesus' words, it's good news of the kingdom. It's good news that the kingdom of God has come. But because the kingdom has a face and a name, the person of Jesus Christ, it becomes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul speaks of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the good news of the kingdom, or the good news of Jesus Christ, is now God is taking back his creation to rule and reign over it again. And of course, to speak of the gospel of the kingdom in that way would, as I've been asked many times by people, well, what about 1 Corinthians 15? Doesn't mention the death and resurrection. Well, of course, because the gospel continues to unfold in the sense that good news, the kingdom's come. It's seen in the work in the life of Jesus Christ, but then it's accomplished in his death and his resurrection, and the fruit of it given in his Spirit. And so the good news then is that in the death and resurrection of Christ, this kingdom has been accomplished. This salvation of the kingdom has been both accomplished and can be now given and taken hold of by faith. But then you keep reading, you read Paul, and Paul says, but this gospel was already proclaimed back in Genesis 12, he says in Galatians, when it says, through me the nations will be blessed. And so for me, you start to get a narrative unfolding of the gospel, the good news that God is saving and renewing the creation. Sometimes the gospel gets narrowed to the substitutionary atonement. Is it the substitutionary atonement? It sure is. The fact that Christ has taken upon himself the sin of the world is essential to the gospel. Is that the whole of the gospel? No. Not if we're reading the New Testament, because the gospel speaks of the coming of Christ. It speaks of the coming of the kingdom, how he accomplished it in his death and resurrection. So I don't want to be sort of nailed down into one formulation of the gospel, because then I think somebody's going to come and say, yeah, but Paul says this about the gospel or this about the gospel. So it seems that it's talking about the good news that in Jesus Christ, God's restoring his rule over the whole of creation, and he's accomplished that in his death and in his resurrection. That would be a starting point for me, I guess.
Okay, and I think I'm entirely in agreement with Mike. You know, I think both of us and many of our friends have had this experience, which I referred to a bit earlier. So, you know, Southern Baptists, like myself as an evangelical, we pride ourselves on being Bible Christians, okay? So we are, you know, we distinguish ourselves from the liberal traditions and the others because we are people of the Bible. And many of us have had the most alarming experience of going into seminaries, and I'm not referring here to Southeastern. I would very much expect this is not true of Southeastern. But I've gone into seminaries and taught third-year students, and I've asked them this question, which, you know, I would think we would all agree is a relevant question. What was the main theme of Jesus' teaching? And you get a long list: salvation, going to heaven, healing. And there's still extraordinary ignorance about the fact that the primary theme of Jesus' teaching, according to the first three Gospels, was the kingdom of God. And in John's Gospel, it's not mentioned very much, but you have an equivalent vocabulary which is operating with the same eschatology, the primary word being eternal life, which, as I learned from Leon Morris's commentary years ago, is not about life in heaven, but life of the age to come, or life as God always intended it to be, his destiny for his good creation. So now, what, you know, is an interesting question, I think, for people watching this to ask themselves. Okay, so the kingdom of God, and we could demonstrate this very quickly, was the primary theme of Jesus' teaching. When did you last hear a sermon on the kingdom of God? You know, so I think it's the main theme of Jesus' teaching. I think how Paul picks this up and works with this and the rest of the New Testament we can talk about. And then, you know, just in the Old Testament, I think the prime candidate for a dominant, overarching, internal concept is covenant. And the background to covenant is the notion of one of the major metaphorical constituents is of a great king bringing a nation into a vassal treaty relationship with him. In other words, very much in the metaphorical domain of covenant are all the things we associate with kingship. So, you know, if one wants to come up with another word for it, well, that's okay. But I think if it was the major theme of Jesus' teaching, then, you know, if you want to know why do we make so much of it, I would like to think because we make so much of Jesus.